We will be doing the second chapter of Luke next Sunday. I had said previously, I thought today was Christmas, and I got confused. We will not be doing Tyre and Ezekiel on Christmas Day. I said we would, but there are about three higher authorities that said you had better not, so I won't. All right, now we can easily close out chapter 26. We've had a very precise prophecy about what is going to happen to Tyre in the 26th chapter, and we stopped with the fact that the fall of Tyre is going to bring terror on the island cities. Verse 15, thus says the Lord God to Tyre, shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan, when the slaughter occurs in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones, remove their robes, and so forth. And then you have a lament that begins in verses 17 through 18. Actually, there are two laments over the fall of Tyre, two funeral dirges, one by the mainland cities that are also destroyed, and their lament is found down through verse 18, 15 down through verse 18, or actually 17, where he takes up the lamentation, goes down through verse 18. Obviously, a city like Tyre, which was literally a commercial center of the world, could not fall without there being repercussions on the surrounding nations. If we want to know what some of these surrounding nations are, like in verse 16, the princes of the sea, let me list some of the colonies that were totally dependent upon Tyre as their headquarters. They are Cyprus, Rhodes, Malta, Spain, Sicily, Sardinia, and all of Africa. So when Tyre fell, the impact on them was tremendous. With that, God gives the final verdict, verses 19 through 21, as to what is going to happen to Tyre, and he points out that they're going to die, never to be resurrected. All right, we now turn to the funeral dirge over Tyre. The funeral dirge over Tyre. Chapter 27, verse 1 through 28, 20. And it really comes in two parts. First, it is a funeral dirge over the city itself. And that takes up chapter 27, all of it, 36 verses. Then, in chapter 28, we have a funeral dirge over the ruler of Tyre. And in that particular portion, this is where Ezekiel will see the mental attitude of Tyre, the attitude of its arrogant leaders, or its arrogant leader, its arrogant ruler and king. And he will say that literally opens up the door to something happened way, way back in heaven. And that will be God created an anointed cherub that was absolutely beautiful in every way. The highest of all of God's created beings, and that being looked in the mirror one day and said, wow, am I ever beautiful? And Satan fell, and Satan became Satan. So really, we ought to think of what we're seeing in chapter 27 as a sort of a microcosm of Satan and his fall. All right, dirge over the city. Number one, a word of introduction to it about chapter 27. These are just introductory things that we ought to observe. Number one, the chief sin of Tyre was pride. The chief sin of Tyre was pride. And we can take that and put it all in one capsule. And if you want to get the key to chapter 27, at least mentally underline verse 3, five words. And I'll tell you what ones to underline when we come to them, because they are the key to the whole mental attitude and the whole sin of Tyre. Verse 3, say to Tyre, who dwells on the entrance to the sea, merchant of the peoples to many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, and here are our key words, I am perfect in beauty. And that encapsulates the entire mental attitude of the king, of the people, of the city, and it is the chief sin. of Tyre, namely the sin of pride. And what really happens is this. Tyre became enamored with herself. Tyre became enamored with herself and therefore had no place for God. Tyre became enamored with herself and therefore had no place for God. In essence, that's what pride is. Pride is self-occupation. My worth, my value, my needs, my interest, my desires all become the focal point. And that becomes, interesting thing about pride is the only sin that did not originate with the human race. It's the one single sin that came from the outside to Adam in the garden. And again, it is the chief sin of this particular city, and we will see illustrated how God feels about pride as we go through Ezekiel chapter 27. There are three basic things about pride that we ought to note. Three facts from the Bible about pride. Or let's put a synonym with it, being self-enamored, self-occupied. And let's note the three fundamental things that we know about pride. We're going to do a little readout of about 9 or 10 points concerning pride and what is involved in it, probably not until tonight. But nonetheless, let's note at the beginning three things we know about pride. Number one, we know this. God hates pride. There's no other verb. There's no other way to express the divine attitude toward man when he is self-occupied is God hates pride. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs 8, 13. Simply put, God hates pride. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord, and fear means to respect. Respect for the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way. So hating evil becomes specified. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, specifically pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, I hate. God hates pride. A second principle that is important is this, is that pride is always a precursor to something else. Pride is the precursor or the predecessor to judgment. Or we ought to put to a fall and therefore judgment. And again, we can stay with Proverbs, this time chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, 18. God hates pride, and pride ought to always be viewed as a prelude, an introduction, an overture to something yet to come. And that will be a fall and thus judgment. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. So pride precedes the stumble, and the stumble precipitates the judgment. Pride is a precursor to judgment. Now, there's one other fundamental thing about pride that we ought to know, and that is this, and it's logical. If pride is being self-occupied and self-enamored, if I am self-occupied, I will not be God-occupied. If self is the center and focus of everything, God will not be needed. So, our third principle is this. Pride keeps men from seeking God. Pride keeps men from God. We don't need God when we are self-enamored because we are God. And if you go for this to the book of Psalms 10 and verse 4. Psalm 10, 4. Pride keeps men from God. As a matter of fact, it keeps men from even admitting the existence of God. The proud man needs no God because he is God in his own mind. Chapter 10, verse 4. The wicked in the haughtiness, and there's your pride, the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Self-occupation is a very, from this verse, we can say this. Self-occupation is atheism in disguise. Self-occupation is atheism in disguise, and that verse makes it very clear. With the haughty heart, he does not seek God, and all his thoughts are, there is no God. Pride eliminates God, and you can see then why in Ezekiel 27, and let's go back to it, we're going to have a chapter that will deal with pride on the level of the city of Tyre. So by way of introduction, our first point is, chief sin of Tyre was pride. Second point, three facts about pride or self-occupation. And now a third point of introduction to chapter 27. Ezekiel chapter 27 is in the form of a funeral dirge. It is in the form of a funeral dirge. If you come down to verse 1 and 2, verse 1 says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation." The word lamentation translates the Hebrew word kinah. And for English purposes, we will translate K-I-N-A-H, kinah. Kinah is a technical term for a funeral dirge. The fourth thing we know about Ezekiel chapter 27 is this. The imagery is that of a ship. Tyre is going to be pictured as a ship. And we will see the ship. By the way, there are many, even in the secular world, who do not believe that the Bible is any more than just literature, who will say that Ezekiel 27 could well be one of the most beautiful pieces of ancient literature which we have because of its metaphor, its color, the way it's put together. First of all, you have the ship built. This is all going to be imagery. 27, 1 through 11. The ship of Tyre is going to be built. Now keep in mind, this is not a literal ship. This is a metaphor. And the emphasis through verse 1 through 11 will be on the building of the ship. And the theme will be this. Tyre was well outfitted. Tyre was well outfitted. Two, in 27, 12 through 24, we will have the ship launched. 27, 12 through 24, ship launched. And the theme there will be Tyre was wrongly piloted. Tyre was wrongly piloted. Well outfitted, 1 through 11. Wrongly piloted, 12 through 24. Third, the ship sinks. 27, 25 through 36. And the theme there is Tyre was ultimately shipwrecked. Tyre was ultimately shipwrecked. And this is all put in an interesting form of a funeral dirge. The city is viewed as a ship. So let's begin then with Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 1. And our first theme is, let's get the ship built. 1 through 11. And this will carry with it several items. We start out with the pride of Tyre. And that is dealt with in verses 1, 2, and 3. Reading verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, notice once again the topside-down doctrine. Truth does not come from the mind of man. Truth comes from the mind of God, placed in the mind of man or given to man. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, take up a kinah. Take up a funeral dirge over Tyre. And say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance of the sea. Now, if you're looking at a New American Standard Version, you have by the word entrance the letter 1. And if you go out into the margin, it says literally entrances. So under Tyre's pride revolved about the fact that she had entrances. The entrances would refer to the dual harbor of Tyre. And again, I'll redraw our little map. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. We're going to go on out from Tyre some 1,500 miles to Spain. Tyre was located up north. And remember, as we studied last hour, there were two Tyres, one city, but two locations, mainland Tyre, island Tyre. Mainland Tyre had two ports of entry, one to the north and one to the south. The one up north was called the Sidonian Tyre, from Sidon. Sidon was just north of Tyre, really part of it. And when we come to the last part of Ezekiel 28, we will have a funeral dirge and an announcement of judgment taken up against the city of Sidon. But that's later. Down to the north was the Egyptian port, or the Egyptian harbor. What this did, literally, was to make Tyre the gateway for all of your Mediterranean commerce. You would come from Tyre on a cross onto the east. You could go from Tyre through the Aegean, the Greek islands, onto Spain. And literally, this was the gateway through which the world flowed. Absolutely central, probably the greatest maritime center of all ancient history. The fourth thing to remember is that the theme of 27 and 28 revolves about, and let's put it on our map, and that is the words that come out of verse 3. Tyre decided, I am perfect in beauty. And we will find by the time we get to chapter 28, about verse 12, that Ezekiel will begin to say to us that this attitude is the very embodiment of the first sin ever committed. It is the very embodiment of the satanic attitude, which is self-occupation or pride. And so Ezekiel is going to see beyond these words, and he, as he sees beyond these words, he will see back to that anointed cherub that also decided one day that he was perfect in beauty. And he asserted his will against the will of God, and we will have the origin of Satan, and thus, as far as the Bible is concerned, the origin of sin. The pride of Tyre. Second, the prominence of Tyre. Pride of Tyre. Now, the prominence of Tyre. verse 4. Your borders are in the heart of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. And we revolve then about two words, borders and builders. First of all, the word borders is a Hebrew word that refers to her domain. And so verse 4 begins by saying, your domain is in the very heart of the sea. And we ought to note that Tyre was, beyond any question, the greatest maritime leader of her day. The traffic that extended through Tyre extended through all of the ancient Near East. He then refers, after noting her central location, her borders, he then moves to the fact that your builders have perfected your beauty. And the builders refers to all the places from which Tyre was built. Since Tyre was such a great maritime power and leader in those days, Tyre, all of her construction only asked one question. If we're going to make this thing of oak, where is the finest oak in the world produced? And they would go to that place and bring the oak back. If they wanted to use linen, they would say, where is the finest linen in the world produced? And the answer would be Egypt. And they would sail to Egypt and bring the linen back. Tyre was literally built by the world of those particular times. If the best product for building this is made in Spain, then let's go to Spain and get it. It's hard for us to identify with. Take your house, which is nothing compared to Tyre, but I do assume we have many people here who can say that every single product in my house is made of the finest whatever is produced in the whole world. We don't accept anything but that. We don't want local wood if local wood is not the best. If the wood is 1,000 miles away and we need to go there to get it, we will do so. That was Tyre. Tyre literally built by the world. And looking at everything that the world put together in Tyre, Tyre says, I am perfect in beauty. I am the best of everything. With that mental attitude is pride. Pride eliminates God. With God eliminated, God said, I will sink you into the sea and you will never be found again. All right, the prominence of Tyre then. Third, the materials of Tyre. He's going to begin to develop how the city was built in verses 5 through 7. Now keep in mind, this is metaphor and figure of speech. Verse 5. They have made all, now keep in mind, this is a ship that is going to be a picture or a figure or an illustration of the city of Tyre. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Sennar. The only comment I would make on that is Sennar is the Amorite word for Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon was known for wood. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Mount Hermon. They have taken cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. The mast was made from the cedars of Lebanon, the finest in the world. Of oaks from Bashan, that's the area of Jordan today, and in those times Jordan was known, that area of Jordan covered by Jordan today, was known for hardwood forests. So of oaks from Bashan you have made your oars, emphasis, finest wood in the world, hardwood. With ivory, they have inlaid your deck of boxwood from the coastlands of Cyprus. Your sail was of fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. Your awning, not certain what that is, it may be part of the deck, but your awning was blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. We do not know where that is. It's obscure. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebel and her wise men were with you, repairing your seams. The ship was maintained. all the ships of the sea and their sailors were with you in order to deal in your merchandise. And obviously with such wealth, she would need protection. And thus, the protection is that of the army and alliance. So verse 10 and 11, Persia and Lud and Put were your army. Your men of war, they hung shield and helmet in you. They set forth your splendor. The sons of Arvad and your army were on your walls all around, and the Gammadim were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They perfected your beauty. Tyre built. All right. From that, then, we move to the ship launched. The ship launched. 12-24. Now, basically, these verses are going to set forth a couple of themes. And the first one is this. They emphasize the many trade relationships, trade relations of Tyre. And they were worldwide. Trade relations were worldwide. The emphasis, or one of the emphasis, is on the extensiveness of her trade relations. And if you begin reading at verse 12, you can begin to see that emphasis. Tarshish. Tarshish is Spain. Spain with a lisp. Spain was your customer. 13, Javan, Tubal, and Meshach. On across to Damascus and Arabia, and we'll show these ancient names and what they tie in with. But the emphasis, notice, down through verse 24, is on extensiveness. This was a worldwide thing. The second emphasis here is this. Tyre did not have to sell herself. They came to Tyre. Tyre did not solicit. Tyre did not solicit. She rather was solicited. Tyre didn't have to try to sell anything. Nations came to Tyre for her business. Now, just to get a little bit of idea of the extensiveness, starting in verse 24, as we said, Tarshish is Spain, and that's a good 1,500 miles away. So we're on an east-west axis right there. And if you extend from Tarshish northeast through this Tubal and Meshach and Beth Togarma in verse 14, you have gone from Spain northeast into Anatolia. And if you go on the north-south axis in these verses, she traded from Arabia up through Syria and through Palestine, literally worldwide. And that's the emphasis down through verse 24. However, we have the ship sinks. 25-36. The ships of Spain were the carriers for your merchandise, and you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas. There's the climax. And then he tells what the rowers have done, and he moves immediately into, and let's go down to verse 32. Moreover, this is those that have been affected by her fall. In their wailing, they take up a funeral dirge for you. They lament over you. Who is like Tyre? Like her who is silent in the midst of the sea. When your wares went out from the seas, you satisfied many people. With the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise, you enriched the kings of the earth. Now that you were broken by the seas in the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company has fallen in the midst of you. All the inhabitants of the coastland are appalled by you or at you. Their kings are horribly afraid. They are troubled in countenance. The merchants among the peoples hiss at you. You will have become terrified, and you will be no more. Now, before we get into moving over to the lament over the king, and we will become very specific. Notice in chapter 28, it says, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre. And thus, He commits the same sin. Notice, reading verse 2, say to the leader of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a god. I sit in the seat of the gods, in the heart of the seas, and so forth. And so we find out that the sin of the city was the sin of the king. The sin of the king was the sin of Satan. And thus, the theme is pride, sin of the city. That's what we just had. Sin of the leader. Sin of Satan. So chapter 27, sin of the city. 28, 1 through 11, sin of the leader. 28, 12 through 19, the sin of Satan. So we're sort of taking a little trip. And the trip that Ezekiel takes us on is, let me lead you into the city of Tyre and note that she thought she was perfect in beauty and fell to pride. But let me take you now into the throne room and let me show you the heart of the leader of Tyre in 28, 1 through 11. And then let me ultimately open up to you the final spiritual reality and take you to the originating sin of the universe, which is the sin of Satan, which is the sin of pride. Now, before we get to that, let's take a little time to at least start to develop the concept of pride. What is entailed in it? And the first thing, then, we ought to note is pride is the single sin that found its origin outside the human race. This is the single sin to find its origin outside the human race. Pride is given to us as supernatural in origin. Isaiah chapter 14. And this will help us to give a little bit of definition to pride. And enable us to put down a pride is statement. Pride is the placing, pride is the placing of one's will in opposition to God's will. That's what Satan did when he fell. As we've said previously, we are never more satanic than when we say an I will that clashes with God's will. I repeat, we are never more like Satan than when we assert our will in opposition to God's will. And thus we'll find out that with Satan, he simply placed his will in opposition to God's will, and thus, as far as the Bible is concerned, there is where sin began in the universe. And we've been over these, but notice coming down to the fact that Lucifer is addressed in verse 12, speaks of his fall, and you come down to verse 13, you said in your heart, notice one other thing, basic sin is not action. Basic sin is mental attitude. And so he says in his heart, I will ascend to heaven. And there's nothing wrong with saying I will if I will is in harmony with the words I will. I can think of no words that can be more satanic and at the same time more beautiful. When God says do this and we say I will, that's perfect. When God says do this and we say in opposition to that, no, I will, we're never more satanic. So these words are very interesting. So verse 13, I will ascend to heaven, and that was in opposition to the will of God. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. And thus you have the single sin finding its origin outside of the human race. second principle. Pride is an absolute roadblock. To an exalted position in God's eyes. Pride is an absolute roadblock to an exalted position in God's eyes. Luke 18:14. If we want to be exalted in the eyes of God, we must make our I wills identical to His I wills. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Well, we need to back off, don't we? Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. There's got to be a little sarcasm in that. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself. God, I thank Thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes. Notice the prominence of the personal pronoun I. I am not like. I fast. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Notice the opposite of self-occupation and self-exaltation. And Jesus replies, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Principle, everyone who exalts himself shall be brought down, humbled. But he who humbles himself shall be exalted. And we've called this before. This is the biblical doctrine that says up is down and down is up. Biblically speaking, up is down and down is up. And that's exactly what is being taught in this particular context. Well, we want to cover about 11 things pertaining to pride. And as soon as we do that in our next session, we will move on to the lament over the king. And then we will be into the fall of Satan in the last part of the chapter. Father, we're thankful today for your word and its truth. May we recognize that if we are to have a standing with you, the first thing that we must do is surrender our I will and say we accept your will. The first thing we must do is recognize that your way of salvation is not the way that we had planned it. And your way of salvation says you must swallow all of your pride. I will save you only by grace. And grace means you come with empty hands. And take the gift of salvation, for which we give you thanks today in Christ's name. Amen.